Joe, I got one question for you before we start the show officially. Our generation, we always can quote movies, whether it's Stripes or Caddyshack or any of those silly movies. What is a go-to line for you?
220, 221, whatever it takes.
that's Mr. Mom,
Michael
right?
Keaton.
Yeah, that was a classic. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was good. Mine was Animal House, all right? So they walk into the bar with their dates. This is, and by the way, you and I, both Sigma News, that movie's pretty close.
Pretty
accurate. A little dramatic license, but not much. But they walk into, and Otis Day and the Knights is playing, right? And they go, this one's called Shamalanga Ding Dong. Uh-huh. Hit it.
It's the Second Cup of Joe and John with Joe Elvis and John Dwyer.
See how I worked that in?
Nice. Yeah. Mind if we dance with your dates?
It's good stuff. P-I-G pig. Anyway, we could go on. We're not going to argue whether we took a few liberties with our female companions. We
John,
did.
As I walked into your house, and my house, and all our houses, perhaps, things are coming out of the ground. Those daffodils, I'm not good on my flowers. Tulips, daffodils start poking out of the ground. We're transitioning into spring, and I have my Philadelphia Phillies old 70s logo mm-hmm. on. Preseason is underway. And did you, growing, spring was always my favorite time of the year. The radio was better. The girls were prettier. The grass was changing. Baseball was underway.
Top was down.
Yes. On your car.
On the car. Yeah, that's, yeah. And I got that from my dad. That did was DNA.
So,
yeah.
But you grew up in the north in South Bend. I grew up in Delaware. So we're playing with those wood Adirondack bats hitting balls at 40 degrees, stinging our hands. What was spring like for you?
If you didn't hold the label right.
Yeah.
Right? That's sometimes when I hit my two iron. I have that same kind of vibration. But it was always great because South Bend, we had 104 inches of lake effect snow for 25 straight years. I don't get that anymore. So yeah, when you got to spring break, it was just, and summer was, you know, 3 months long, and it was, we were very fortunate to have a swimming pool in both the homes that I grew up in from 0 to 10 and 10 to 20 years old. My parents were not, dad was a car peddler, but they did it because they wanted their kids to have, know who their friends were. I didn't realize that was strategic of them. Not that my dad didn't get in the pool twice, I think in 20 years, but the pool was kind of the gathering point at the now Hamas last name, John Dwyer Hamas household. What about you?
For us, it was all about baseball in the springtime.
No pool.
And mowing the grass.
They didn't love you.
No pool.
Okay. They said, no, you go wherever the heck you want. You come back just for dinner if you can. No, I'm just
kidding. We're starting a list of maybe things we can address in today's conversation.
This is really special.
This is what we've been talking about for a year.
All right. So we're going to get to it.
Hey, we know people.
Let's take a spin through Joe and John's Rolodex.
I'd say it stops on the letter D for the dad show.
This is the dad show.
Our dads are on the Second Cup of Joe. And John. And I'll introduce mine.
Please.
Sitting here in the studio with us, Joseph W. King from Kings Mills, Ohio.
Explain King because you Joe Elvis, because you go by Joe Elvis on this, you know.
Well,
your dad's got to be not happy about that. No,
I loved Elvis.
Yeah. Did you like Joe Elvis? Well, you didn't have to claim him or something?
Here's part of that story is dad's birthday is Elvis's birthday, January 8th. And my birthday is August 15th, the day before he dies.
Yeah.
And with that and a six-pack of beer and my last name being King, I became Joe Elvis just to have something different.
But dad's birthday,
dad and Elvis, you're the same age, aren't you?
I'm 88. I don't know what Elvis would be.
He's doing a lot better.
Yeah. You're
better.
Standing.
Also, on the Second Cup of Joe and John, we have Jerry Hamas on the wire from South Bend, Indiana. Dad, how are you? You hear us? You good?
Yes, my last name is Hamas. Thank you.
Wow. Is there a debate?
Well, do you remember when I called and asked when I moved to Nashville 96? I said, I don't want to.
Yes, I did. And I said, well, that's fine. We just take you out of the will.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I did ask, I'm not trying to run from the, but Dwyer is my mother's maiden name.
Okay.
She didn't have any brothers. It was a little easier than Hammis because people in Fort Myers and Jacksonville and Southland would say, Hams, hey, you're John Hams. I'm like, no, so I went by Dwyer. So we're still good, right, Dad? I mean,
I think so. You'll see when I die. Being that I'm in my 90s, like I'm going on 93.
Yeah,
it might be pretty quick. I don't know.
No. You're doing great. You drive. Yeah, and both our dads drive. You, Mr. King. Can I call you Mr. King?
Call me Joe.
Call you Joe. Joe, you play golf. You're very active.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're pretty good, right? And you get along with your son.
I wouldn't go that far.
No? So what brought you, you worked at DuPont forever.
Yes.
Dad, do you know that? Do you remember DuPont?
I certainly do.
Okay. Yeah. So career.
Being in the car business, that was a car paint.
Paint. Yeah. You used DuPont paint. Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So my dad was a Ford peddler up until 1974, third generation Ford dealer. But yeah, your health, you look good.
I feel good.
Yeah. Talk about, let's go back, Jerry, you and my dad to beginnings. Dad grew up in Ohio, Kings Mills, Ohio, and Dad, you grew up on a farm.
My grandma's farm.
Your summer job. Talk about what working on the farm was like in those days.
I probably started working on my grandma's farm, which was like 180 acre farm. When I was probably 12 to 14 and, normal farm routines, we grew corn, soybeans and hay, raised pigs and cows. The cow part was the interesting part. I got hooked into the hand milk cows, not milking machines, but hand milk.
You milked the cows.
We used to call it pulling tits, if you could say that.
Whoa. Hey, there goes our rating.
Only
right
four
there.
4 minutes in.
I had the over under at six. So that's. Oh my goodness! So yeah, that's just part of your daily deal,
well,
right?
The fun part of it was I had three sisters, and I would go up there at 4:30 or 5 in the morning and milk cows in the stables, and they smell like you know what. So I go home, get ready to go to school, and my sister says, "Get him out of here! He smells like cow poop." And I went through years of that. I was probably 19 before they gave up on that one.
Oh, my goodness. Dad, you didn't.
Well, I married the farmer's granddaughter.
You and, did? Yeah.
Wow. That's right, the farmer's granddaughter. And I can remember when I was just getting acquainted with the family, with her family. And so I went out to the farm where they had the, like the Sunday dinner. And that's when I experienced twisting the chicken's head off and plucking the feathers.
There's so many lines. I ain't going to say any of them. But by the way, when you went out there, though, Dad, you weren't driving a jalopy, right? I mean, you were styling and profiling, I'm thinking, right?
My Dad, you were a Ford guy growing up. What were your first couple cars?
Oh, I was a Ford guy, yeah. My first one was a Model A Ford, 29. And then I drove that when I was 14, like Mr. Hammond said. And then I got a 41 Ford. And then a 51 Ford. And then I went to college.
I had a 51 Ford that was probably one of my most joyful ones.
Yeah, they're a great car.
Dad, in your car, you had a unique job. Tell the story about delivering the mail.
Well, okay. We lived across the street from a fella who had the contract to deliver the mail. The delivery job was they would sort the mail, bag it up. And my job was to drive it down to railroad track, which was about 2 miles away down the hill. Pennsylvania Railroad ran through there. And they had a stand beside the track, and my job was to get out and hook the mailbag on the stand. And then the guy coming down 60 mile an hour in the Pennsylvania Railroad in the mail car stuck out an arm, hooked my bag, picked it up, and kicked one off, which I took back up. I did that three times a day, 6 in the morning, noon, and 6 at night, so I could do sports and still do that. And he paid me $500 a month to do that.
Wow.
To a kid who's 16 years old, who did 1950. That was big money.
That was huge money.
I had more money than my buddies.
That was big money.
Yeah. We go drink beer, and I always had to buy, but that was okay.
That was
and,
okay.
And it went great until you came up with your own way. Tell that
story.
Oh,
yeah. This 51 Ford I had, I mounted spotlights on the side of it. I had to hang a lantern in the winter when it was early, dark in the morning or 6 o'clock.
Oh, sure.
So I got tired of doing that. So I would back this Ford off and shine both spotlights on the mailbag so the guy could see it coming down the track. And that went on for about a month. And the guy who I was subcontracting with come over and he says, "You got to quit that." He said, "I've got a memo here from the post office department and you have to adhere to, you know, such and such and such and such."
What was wrong with it? Why would you?
They couldn't see it as well as they could see a lantern hanging there.
Oh, I got you.
It was diffused, I guess.
Coming up with his own rules, John.
I like that. I like that.
And the only problem.
Common sense would tell you not to look to Joe and John for this, but time for life lessons from Joe and John.
Sorry about that, Mr. King. Continue.
Happy. He's trigger happy with that button, John. Watch out.
But go ahead, finish your thought.
Well, the only problem I ever had was be a hobo walking down the track, and he could see me, and he came over. He never bothered me, but they always say, "Can you loan me a dollar, kid?"
Yeah,
and I always
I'll have 499 left. I'll be good. Life lessons, father, you dad, you went to Marmion Military Academy for high school. And you would assume, I know Mr. King's like, okay, kid was getting in some trouble. You were a good kid, right? I mean, you wanted to go, which is kind of weird. No?
Yeah, my parents sent me to a full ROTC military academy boarding school. And obviously not co-ed, and so.
So let's get to really, I think, was the centerpiece in both your lives are our moms, your wives, Janice, my mom, Doreen, John passed.
2018. Great run, though. She had
love
a great run.
Her. Yeah. I've been a guest of the Hammesses at the Notre Dame extravaganza when we go to the game and have a drink and then go in and celebrate all that's great there. As my dad wears his Ohio State shirt right here, this was terrific.
And, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And so, Jerry, I'll ask you, where did you meet Doreen and say, this is the woman I'm going to marry?
I met Doreen in seventh grade in Kankakee, Illinois. It was a little Catholic grade school there, and she was an identical twin, and you really couldn't tell the difference. And so at first, I was sort of dating
my aunt.
I don't know which one.
it was Aunt Dot. Dorothy. Yeah, Dorothy. You dated her and then moved on to mom, I guess. And
well, yeah, and I got a letter and I got a letter from Dorothy, and I think she's the one that said, "Why don't you?" Because Dorothy didn't care for me, I guess. But anyway, so why don't you?
My aunt passed you on.
Why don't you ask Doreen for a date? Because I think she'd really like to go out with you. And I said, "Well, I can do that." Yeah. So that was part of the story.
Well, you got the good one, right? Isn't that what you tell people?
I got the good one.
Yeah.
66 years. And tell how you met mom. You guys were small town, Kings Mills. She was in South Lebanon, which is geographically close.
Yeah. We South Lebanon was about 5 miles from Kings Mills, and they only went to the eighth grade in South Lebanon, and then they came to Kings Mills School. And so starting ninth grade, we were in Kings Mills. And her name, maiden name, was Hiles, and we were alphabetically seated. Hiles, King, I sat behind her.
Oh.
So we became very acquainted with me pinching her on the rear as she sat in front
of
me.
Whoa, hey now. There's laws against that. Yeah.
That's called groping.
Yeah, groping, yeah.
Thank you, Jerry.
Did a little groping. And we went together all through high school. And then mom went off to nursing school. And I went to college. I started out at Duke. And we kind of split up then just because we were doing our college thing. But then I gave up on Duke and came back to Ohio State. And she graduated from nursing school. So I married that sweet little thing, finally. And she helped put me through engineering school at Ohio State.
Rapid fire. Yeah, a lot going on here, Joe. I'm not sure my dad knows what this segment. I don't. He doesn't listen to the podcast. Hell, he may not listen to this one. I don't know.
Oh, they will.
I know. Do you think so?
You okay. Got one?
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Dad, how would your father describe you?
I don't think my dad liked me.
Oh,
it was, we had a very, we didn't have a mean relationship, but a very standoffish relationship. He had three girls to worry about. Okay. So I wasn't a problem for him. He took care of the three girls. We didn't have any trouble, but, I wouldn't call him a real loving dad, I guess it'd be a right expression, but he was a good man. He worked hard all his life. And, that's about it.
Yeah, you yeah. Well, you were low maintenance, which is good. Dad, how would you describe what Romy Hamas, your father, and Dorothy?
My dad was, in many respects, a model for me, and always had been, and treated me just absolutely fantastic. And which the advantage was we treated each other with respect, which was never, there was nothing to be divisive about and get mad about and get upset with each other about.
Dad, time you got in the most trouble with your parents.
Here we go.
I was probably a junior in high school, and I played on the basketball team. I was point guard, and the starting five were very tight. And we had a little Italian guy named Joe Arbino, first generation in this country, and they made what they called Dago Red wine.
Oh, yeah, Dago Red, yeah.
Yeah, and one Christmas break, we got together at his house, and we drank 2 gallons of that stuff. And to this day, I can't even stand the smell of grape juice. But we got drunk, and my best buddy and I took off for Florida. And we ran away from home, and we were gone probably a week, and we ran out of money. And trying to get enough money to get back home, we did dishwashing jobs, all kinds of crap. We were gone about a week.
Let's get to both of your careers. You could just give a quick review of it or so. Dad, 53, 55 years you worked at DuPont?
No, 38.
Oh, it was a long time. You know, in John and I's career, you're lucky to be in one place for 2 or 3 years.
That don't happen anymore.
And we both busted that rule here in Nashville, being here for decades plus, like you guys. And so Duke, Ohio State, you got recruited right out of Ohio State. You were a mechanical engineer. You've been on some of the ground floors of their Tyvek and Kevlar products. You've made DuPont probably billions of dollars in your career. Talk what that was like. You started in Delaware, and then we moved to Hendersonville.
All right. Okay. I started, Janice and I, my sweet little wife, got married. I had 2 years left at Ohio State, so we finished that. And then in those days, the colleges, or the industry would come to colleges and interview people for jobs. And a DuPont rep came and liked us, I guess, and made me an offer, which I thought was the end of the world, $700 a month. Oh. That's what I started at.
That's not, that's no hanging mail, but I mean, that's a start.
So anyway, we took the job and moved to Delaware. And I started in what was called the Mechanical Development Laboratory, which was developing machinery for DuPont processes that they couldn't buy commercially. So it was all special equipment. It was a great job, fun job for an engineer, and did that for a number of years. And then they changed the name to the Engineering Development Laboratory, which broadened their scope. It wasn't just equipment design. And we did that for a few years. And then I had a chance to move to Nashville out of that job. into what they call their consultants. Nashville had a consultant office at Old Hickory and in Beaumont, Texas, and somewhere in South Carolina. Wortland, Kentucky, was one of our old plants, and that was a DuPont plant that was built after the King Powder Company went out of business. They bought that ground, so that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I want to be clear. The King name, I don't. When I think of, I think of King's Island, right? I mean, that was the amusement park in Sandusky, Ohio. No, is that Cedar Point? Do I have that right? Where's
no. King? King's Island's in Cincinnati.
But that's your namesake, right? Right, the right. King Powder Company. Dad, does that mean anything to you?
Probably.
Well, go ahead and lie. I mean, no. The King Powder Company?
Dad, give a quick story about the King Powder Company.
The King name, the King Powder Company was started by my great-great-grandfather, Ahimus King, and they came here from England and lived in New England, and then they moved to Ohio and started a black powder manufacturing operation, which was known as the King Powder Company. And they
is that gunpowder? I don't know. I'm an idiot.
Black powder and a product called detonite, which is a competitor of dynamite. They also, you mentioned King's Island, that was part of their property they sold. And the way that came about was there used to be an amusement park down on the Ohio River named Coney Island. And it had a lot of the games, what do you call them? The
amusement games or carnival games.
So they were having a problem with undesirables in that location. And so they went out of business and built another place out, which was turned to be King's Island, and bumped the price up to $30 a head to get in. And that eliminated the riffraff coming in, you know. And so they were trying to decide what to name it. So they consulted my dad and said, you know, we have a couple names. What do you think? He said one of them was Powder Valley, and the other one was King's Island. Of course, he said, oh, well, it's got to be King's Island.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Dad, did you know you were going to take over the Ford dealership, or what was your step then to business?
My father bought that on April 1st of 1940. And all the help came with it. And so I used to go there and be the lot boy, and I'd do all the crappy work, which was all right. Those guys not realizing that someday I'd be their boss.
Well, Jerry and Joe, I want to bring up where I guess sons, me, Joe, and John, one day we'll just wake up and always rejoice in going to breakfast together. You two guys are breakfast hounds. And Jerry, we go up to vacation and just outside of South Haven, Michigan. We've had a family place there since like 1905. And my dad has his breakfast spot still to this day. I have no doubt that you do as well. And we'll get a little campy here. One of them was Cousins in South Haven. I know you were there when you guys had your summer place up there. And my dad, it was one of my dad's spots. I guarantee you guys set one booth apart and never knew each other.
Several times. Yeah. I mean, dozens of times you were doing that.
We kind of lived there.
Right.
It was a good breakfast.
You both, what kind of places do you like? You guys both like these kind of out-of-the-way small places.
I like small places, good cooks. I like to get known among the waitress staff and the cook or the owner maybe.
Yep.
They treat you different. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about being known. The Never Miss, which is still in South Haven.
Called Dave's Landing. Now.
Dave's Landing. Tell that story as to how known you are, were known in that place.
You don't want to hear the Father Nelson joke, do you?
No. Where did that come from? I'm talking about the... What was on the menu?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dad, this is good. You've had a lot of awards and accolades. Nothing like this. Nothing like where we're going with Joe.
You got me laughing. When I was in there, I ordered a simple breakfast, one egg, two strips of bacon, a piece of toast, and a cup of coffee. And a gal named Doreen owned the place, and she was charging me $5 for that at that time. And I said... Finally, after a year, I said, Doreen, can you cut me a deal on this? That's kind of pricey for an old guy. And she said, let me think about it. I said, okay. So she said, I'll sell you that same thing for $3.50. I said, okay. I said, what shall I call it? I said, the waitress is going to want to know. So they went back and they got their little book out where they write in special breakfasts, and they wrote in and called it the Joe King, and that ended up on the menu.
That's it did. Yeah. It was on there for years, the Joe King.
The Joe King.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, do you got anything else? I mean, we could go on and on.
No, I think we've been talking about this forever, and maybe final question. Dad, what's best? We have obviously younger folks that listen to this. What's your best advice for being a dad?
Oh boy. You won't agree with this because it's probably not the way I treated you. But
you got two of us in the room. We'll decide.
just minimum touch. Lay back. Let them make their own mistakes and stuff. Give them guidance when you think they're going to get hurt. Watch out for them that way, but don't try to run their life for them. Nobody wants their life run for them. You're laughing at that, I know. And believe it or not, that's what I tried to do.
Well, you did well. Yeah. I mean, your son, dad, Joe Jr., my dear friend here that we do the podcast with,
the third.
Has had three or four incarnation successful careers. He flies now for Flexjet. He's a captain. He's been a rock and roll drummer. That's who we're talking to. Come on, do your prep show. Do your homework, Dad. Come on.
He's done
very well, but I would say that, and I'm going to set you up for this, is one of the greatest pieces of advice you ever gave me was you dropped me off at the eighth grade dance at Stanley Clark School. And yes, I don't know if this is politically correct or not, and I don't care. What did you tell me?
I said, be sure you dance with the ugly ones first.
Oh, nice.
And, well, yeah, and I, you know,
my record.
Yeah, and it was his way. I always thought, you know, just be a good person. Don't, I always remember that. And I took that literal, I think. We would play the 2.5 minute songs for those, and then work our way to Stairway to Heaven
somewhere else. Right. The longer, slow ones.
That's really good advice.
Was that pretty good? Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think, Dad, you know, Michael, my brother's in the room, and your hard work ethic, and Mom's too. You know, Michael owns his own business here in Nashville. Amy's been a lifetime lawyer for 30 plus years. I think that drive and honesty and working hard did. Reflect on all of us. So you did do a good job.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. All of you have been very successful in what you did, I think. And I look at the grandkids. We have 7 grandkids now.
Yeah.
And they're going to do as well, if not better.
I hope they do better than all of us.
They're brilliant. They're all smart as whips. Yeah.
And let's end with this. Dad, I tell you this all the time. And Joe, you probably can concur, Joe Sr. You never stop parenting. Right. And I mean, there's always, right. You never, that contract goes on. I call you for advice. You're 92 years young. And I still say, Dad, what do you think about this? You know,
but you don't like unsolicited advice.
Let me tell you what you should think.
John, I never laugh though. Right. I never laugh.
You had a great, hey, Joe, I know, Dad, thank you for taking time to do this from South Bend. I don't know how the audio is going to work. I hope it's palatable for people. We're going to find that out. So, but thank you. Love you very much.
What are you going to do today?
What am I going to do today?
Do you eat breakfast out?
No, we're on a tight schedule.
That's right.
Yeah.
Tight show.
Yeah.
To make airtime network.
Yeah. I'm doing a little bit of yard work this afternoon.
Okay. You still work in the yard? You got the John Deere?
Yes.
Yeah, we've always been mower people in the King household.
I got a John Deere store for you. Okay. I just had in for the winter service, came back, $500. They broke the hood.
Oh no.
Busted the hood on my tractor. So I zoom back in there and I said, hey guys, this ain't gonna work. So they had to prove to themselves that they did break the hood, and they did agree to it. And the guy was real nice, and he says, you know, I says, how's that happen? He says, we got a bunch of new people. He said, tell you the truth, they don't really know what they're doing. So he said, I'll see if I can find you a hood. And I thought, oh, this is going to be good. They had a hood in stock. So he ordered labels for it. And it's in there right now getting the new hood put on.
Is this a riding mower?
Yeah, riding mower.
You
yeah.
ride the you're yeah. You cut okay.
Yeah.
He has a yard service when he goes to Michigan, but he cuts it. I've got a Toro wheel horse. Same thing happened. They broke my hood. But back in the old days, we'd have the International Cub Cadets, which were made of steel hoods. And we had a tiller on the back. You know, now we come from King, Ohio farmers. So we did all the yard work. My brother and I.
I was going to say, did you and Michael chip in? And that was part of the chores?
We were yard freaks. And if I would still have the mower, the weed eater in my hand, my dad would be over my shoulder going, well, I'm not. Did you get
it right?
Missed a spot.
That's when I give them the advice we were talking about earlier.
You're still 12, but it's we're big a machinery family. We used to change our own oil in the garage. Dad had us overalls, and we'd climb under there, and he'd show us how to do all that.
I got a Jiffy Lube.
Well, this was prior to that. You know, back when you'd oil and lube, you could do it yourself because you could get to it in a 70s or 80s vehicle. Now, I wouldn't even know where it is in my Mustang hardly, but it's So
that's where having a dealership helped me. You and I live different lives.
Agree.
Anyway, this has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jerry, and thank you, Joe, for being on The Second Cup of Joe
and John.
It's The Second Cup of Joe and John as their guests expound on any and all topics within the realm of decency. Want to be a sponsor? Let a TV and radio guy help build your business. Email the show, secondcupofjoeandjohn@gmail.com. Now, hold on tight and grab another second cup of Joe and John.